Okay. So, Deborah, you first came to India, to Oroville, in which year?
1968. Yeah. Well, how I got here was that my now ex-husband, Robert, Bob Lawler, had been here briefly been to the ashram, rather, the Sri Aurobindo ashram, in 1965. He came back to the States in order to earn some money in order to go back to the ashram and stay for some time. So that was the period in which I met him in New York. I was doing dance and theater there, and turned out that my dancing partner was an old college friend of his, so that's how we met. And so, of course, fell in love and decided I would go back with him, go to the ashram with him. So the end of 1967 or beginning of 68, we came and got a little apartment in Pondicherry. And lo and behold, that was the time in which Mother announced, of course, Mother was still here then, and that was the time that she announced her dream of Oroville. And so, of course, we volunteered. Yes, yes, yes. Especially since, I won't say that. It just sounded like the most wonderful possibility on earth, and so we volunteered and moved out there in summer of 68. That is to say, Mother and the ashram had bought up certain lands out here in this plain of Oroville, which at that time was dry and dusty and hot. And I remember an ashram man named Dayanand took us around in a van or a jeep or something to look at all the different properties that belonged to the ashram. And we were allowed to choose where we wanted to settle.
Was just the two of you?
Yeah, just the two of us. And, of course, Bob being an artist and so on, we, of course, chose what we thought was the most beautiful place, which at that time, being that everything else was pretty barren, was a canyon, a canyon where rainwater washes off to the sea. And although probably it wasn't ideal in the sense that it wasn't close to where Mother had chosen the center of Oroville to be. It's kind of outlying, but it was dramatically beautiful.
And today that is known as? And today that spot that you chose is known as?
Well, the Mother named it Forecomers because she... us being the first to move out, she called us those who come in the four. And we set to work and built a storeroom out of bamboo and keet, and that is palm leaves. And because you need a place to lock up your tools so that you're able to then start building. Because, of course, you know, villages are all around, and anything lying around, somebody would take. So we had the storeroom first before we had a place to live. And we actually slept on cots outside the storeroom under a sort of bamboo shelter. And... right on the edge of the canyon, and began building a more substantial place to live, and also Bob started a garden and so forth, and started thinking about also the ecology of the land. I mean, we were sort of the first mark on the canvas, so to speak, and then this canvas was conceived of in terms of what would work for the whole sort of bioregion. Mm. Anyway, other people were working out there. Frederick and Shyama at that time were living in Pondicherry, and they came out to Oroville to do projects and so forth, and were also considering building in what's now Certitude. But we were conceiving things on a much more low-tech, inexpensive level, where we would have to use the natural resources to the best possible way, and also get water. That was the big deal. There was no water in Fort Comers unless it rained, of course. And so at that time, there was this truck or van or something that kind of would come from Promesse, which was a settlement that Mother had established for, I think there was medical services for the village people and so on there. Mm-hmm. That was a few miles away, or kilometers away.
Yeah.
So that they brought us a big jug of water every day. And it was a challenge and fun learning to take a bath in a couple of cups of water and boil it, of course, before using it, before drinking it. And it was an exciting time.
It sure sounds like it. Very adventurous, the pioneer spirit. How long did that go on before you had suitable living quarters, infrastructure, and so on?
Oh, gosh, I wish I could remember, but well, certainly months, many months, but not years, but months. But well, actually, then we decided to make a well, dig a bore well. Well, first of all, though, I want to say we were immensely aided by, we hired a village man, Selakanan, to help us with construction and so forth. And also, at that location, by the canyon there, there was a small mango grove. So that was trees and shade and fruit in season, and it was, a special place on that account. But so we sort of made a map of the area, immediate area where we were, and we took it to Mother and asked her where we should dig a bore well. Okay, so she put her finger on a place on the map, and that's where we started digging. And Selakanan and his little boy, Tandapani, who is now a grandfather in Oroville and a wonderful fellow, they helped us organize, get the village team with the bullocks to drill. They drill by, it's like taking a corkscrew and moving it around by means of bullocks walking around and round in a circle. And so then you have to, when you reach the water, you have to then make a casing for the hole. Well, that got all screwed up. the thing ended up falling down the bore well, and it was just, we had to abandon that well because it just didn't work. And I guess we figured that Mother didn't want it to be so easy, too easy. So, months later we built and dug another well, which was successful, and we're then able to have a garden and regular water supply. So, yeah.
So, you're your time in Oroville, working the land at Fort Cummins, was for a number of years before you returned to the States, no?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And other people joined us. Francis from the States, a fellow named Stefan from Germany, and various people came through, huh?
Ed. He came later, I guess.
Yeah, I think he was later. So, you know, we were able to build a kitchen area that was very open. It was, and a meditation hall. Yeah, so we built an eating hut and a meditation hut, and then each person or each couple had their sleeping hut. So that has built something that would shelter them from the weather in order to sleep. And we built one that was upon legs.
Stilts,
yeah. And that's to keep out the creatures and ants and so forth. And lie there at night and listen to the jackals howling. I mean, it was really so primitive in that way, you know, in that sense of raw nature. And it was beautiful. And you would put on the stilts, you would put pieces of sheet metal, small pieces of sheet metal around the stilt in order to keep the rats out. And rat guards. And so the house would just consist of a platform made of bamboo and then a roof. We used palmera leaves rather than keet, which is woven coconut leaf. The palmera tree has these fan-shaped leaves, and we use them like shingles. And even got into painting them. That is, Bob had been a painter before. He was an artist, and so discovered these paints made out of killing gel, whitewash. We would call it whitewash, lime paint, and put a coating on the palm leaf that would enable the paint to stick on it. In other words, a little bit of bitumen mixed in with sand, and then paint them colors, bright colors, yellow, blue, whatever. And that was lots of fun. And so then the people who joined us there made their houses, and we began to have a community. And so this kitchen had a little bit of use other than just for ourselves. It was a community kitchen. And so I think, I mean, that kind of paints a picture of where we were after, by the end of the first year or so. Yeah.
So that brings us up to maybe 69 or 1970. And then did you live there for a number of years before you returned to the States?
Well, we lived there. Let's see. My mother became ill. I had to go to California, and then came back. And then after, I guess in 71, we came back to the States for a year, and then came back to Oroville in 73, I think. And we're here until 75. Well, that was a time of trouble in Oroville, and we just wanted to remove ourselves from that somehow. So probably not courageously. We should have kind of probably try to help see it through that period. But on the other hand, it just seemed contrary to the mother's wishes, and so, and of course, the mother had passed away in 73. So, I guess we wanted to distance ourselves from that struggle. But on the other hand, there's the Gita that tells you to go in there and hang in and fight it through. But anyway,
well, each one has his role, whether on the spot or from afar.
Yeah. Right, and so then I didn't come back here until, I don't know when I first came, what was it, about 1999 or something like that. After many years and many adventures. So I'm very happy to be here today and see this incredible, incredible thing that is Oroville now. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Of course, the main component is the trees and, of course, the Matra Mandir. So, oh yes, we, right at the very beginning there in about 1969, I think the digging the hole for the Matra Mandir started, and everybody participated in their free time, if there was any. So, you know, it was great to be a part of that as well.
I remember in those early days in the 80s, where we stood around and passed the chetty of cement, and you'd pitch it and the next one would catch it, and there was such a spirit of joy. You were in that, I'm sure.
Well, not too much, because I had to do the cooking and shopping and so forth for forecomers. But yeah, it was a wonderful spirit that began, you know, that building, because of course the caravan from France had come, or from Europe had come in probably 69, was it, or 70, and to settle Aspiration, and that had been built for them by Roger's design and so forth, and so they had a place to come to. It was quite a, you know, kind of different experience than we had, being kind of thrust out there on the land and having to find out how to survive. But yeah, I mean, we would bicycle into Pondi every week or so and get food, and you know, it was in sacks that you tied onto your handlebars, and you remember those times. And and then Pondi was quite a, I don't know how far it is from Oroville.
Yeah, about 7, 8, 10 kilometers.
I'm not sure, but anyway. And we would go on a shortcut through a village and push our bicycles up on this sand, this gully that would be, you know, very hot sand and in the summer, and of course wet in the winter or in the monsoon. And you know, that was rigorous. But,
so your first visit to the mother.
Well, of course, I was terrified, excited. And it was shortly after our arrival in Pondicherry. So I had bought myself the first sari and thought that I would try to wear that as a symbol of being, of wanting to, you know, absorb the culture that was here. Anyway, so I struggled up the stairs to Mother's balcony, which is outside the small room where she received people. And people were waiting their turn to go in to see her. And struggled up the stairs, I mean, in this unfamiliar wrap. but then sat down on the ledge of the balcony to wait. And there were, you know, three or four other people there at the same time. And this wonderful little man, I don't say small man, in a dhoti and named Champaklal, would let people in and out. And the first thing that happened was that when he opened the door to let someone in or out, there was, I just perceived this incredible light pouring out of the room. And I was like, yeah. Anyway, my turn finally came, and he ushered me in, and there she was, sitting, surrounded by flowers and by her attendant, who took the flowers that I brought, put them with the others, and they motioned for me to sit down at her feet. And then there was, in silence, you know, I looked up at her and her eyes looked into mine, and it was a feeling as though something was like that bore well boring down into one, and awakening something in the heart or behind the heart or somewhere down there. Like something responded to that gaze, then suddenly it was over, and she gave me some flowers that she would pick out from the vases. Of course, each of the flowers had a meaning that she had given it, and so one was able to kind of go out and, you know, analyze, in other words, look at the flowers and say, and find out what they each meant, and receive that like a message. And I guess I can't remember what she said. She did say blessings or something like that. And she gave you a blessings packet as well. That is a little tiny envelope with flower petals in it. And that was something that, you know, everybody could keep with them all the time for inspiration.
So that was your first meeting with the mother, and that was in 1968, I assume. That's enough about the old days. Deborah, just say in conclusion something about your visit now, and any observation about how it is now, if you'd love to live here now. Most likely, I think your life is more in Los Angeles.
Well, I mean, now it's just splendid. There are all the facilities one could dream of, and beautiful new buildings, and, you know, it just really needs the people and the inspiration of the people to make good use of these facilities. Mm-hmm. And I hate to see them going empty.
Do you see yourself returning to live here?
Well, it's a possibility, yeah, yeah. I guess I come here and get very confused as to what I want to do, because I'm torn between my work at home and, or in California, and doing, and being here with all these wonderful people, and it's a beautiful place.
But the work you do in Los Angeles is a very important work. Talk about, just for a minute, your work in theater.
Yeah, well, I, together with a part with a co-director Stephen, have a small theater, 80-seat theater, but one of about over 100 in Los Angeles. And fortunately, after 20 years of work, we've risen sort of to the top of the pile of those small theaters, and we're having a wonderful time producing beautiful plays. And my responsibility is largely, I mean, I direct a play now and then, but also I produce the flamenco music and dance that we're known for, as well as for the plays. So it's fun, but it's, you know, I mean, I'd like to be able to do the same thing here.
Okay, Deborah. Let's just say in closing then, what shall we say that you've... What can you say in closing then about your what you're here for 2-3 weeks and maybe a highlight of this visit?
Well, the highlight of my visits usually involve... I mean, always involve seeing my old friends. And I'm just thrilled to be able to have so many friends in one place. In Los Angeles, for example, friends, you may have a good friend, but they live across town and the traffic is so horrendous, you never see them. But here, it's just a brief moped ride away.
And you've been, of course, in the inner chamber in Matra Mandira.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. That's the other highlight of the visit. And just to be able to sit here on outside the town hall building and look at the Matra Mandir is just gorgeous, sparkling in the sunshine.
Thanks, Deborah.